Well, again, thank you again for being here, my dear friends. You know, at least a few of you decided to come here, you know, but it just seemed like, you know, me and Lisa was talking the other day, and it seems like more and more truth does not want to be heard here in this room, and more people just seem like they don't want to show up no more. So, you know, I'm really starting to wonder, you know, if, it's kind of difficult keeping this going, you know, because I guess truth does not like to be told. So, at least I'm glad that you three are here. Fred said he has to leave in a little bit, so I understand that. So, again, you know, this is another message I was led to. And actually, this is an old message. And Lisa asked me about the other day. She says, why this message? Well, it was a message I started working on in a situation I was, I guess you could say me personally, was dealing with about 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago. You know, me and my wife were discussing some things, and I started thinking about some things, and I started looking at some things, and I'm like, you know, as the song says, you know, we should be speaking the truth, but a lot of times, you know, folks, and I'm not going to rat y'all out, you know. Oh, hold on. Okay, well, how about that now? I should speak the truth and unmute my mic, so I guess good thing I had it muted, because then again, you wouldn't be hearing me speaking the truth. You like that? Anyway, again, I welcome y'all here. You know, it's going to be repeated. Well, let me stop something real quick since we got off to the wrong foot. Nah, I might as well keep it going because the song's on here. But, you know, again, as I was just saying a little bit earlier, I'm glad that you three are here. Fred said he's going to have to leave in a little bit, and I can understand that. But like I was saying, it seems like some people that's been coming here don't like to hear the truth anymore, and they stay away from here, and some don't even bother showing up. So, you know, I can understand that, you know, but, you know, who knows? I just don't know why they don't want to seem like they hang around this place. But, again, as I was saying, y'all seen the message, and Lisa asked me the other day, you know, why that message, you know? And I kind of told her, well, this was something that I was dealing with, you know, and me and my wife were talking about this, and we was talking about, you know, the question came up, is it okay to tell a little white lie, and is that a sin? And first, I didn't carefully choose my words, but I was kind of thinking, well, I said, well, it all depends. But as I started thinking about it, and as I told Lisa, you know, no, folks, again, we are a child of God. We house the Holy Spirit. Be ye holy, for I am holy. So, in fact, we should be speaking the truth constantly, because did Jesus ever lie? And you will probably all have to answer, no, he never did. So why should we? So, but like I was telling Lisa, you know, like I told my wife, we have to use wisdom in how we're going to respond. And again, you know, like an example was put, you know, if someone wants to ask me, well, how are you feeling? Now, if I'm feeling all rotten, bad, and grumpy, and don't feel like talking to nobody, you know, I should come out and tell you this. But I try to take in consideration, I wish not to say the wrong things to discourage someone else that might need to be talking to me, or may need me to talk to them. So, in a way, I just kind of say, well, I'm so-so, or meh, you know. So, in a way, I'm kind of telling the truth, but I don't want to tell, you know, you my problem. I don't want to say, well, I ain't feeling worth a good. I ain't feeling worth the, you know, just leave me alone, whatever. Most times, I generally don't say nothing. But, you know, in the past, I used to be lying a little bit, and I will admit, yeah, I lie. You know, if I wasn't feeling great and you asked me how I was feeling, oh, I'm feeling great. I'm 100%. And I wasn't. See? Again, folks, we got to start being more careful in how we speak our words. And we need to start going to the Lord and conducting ourselves accordingly. And we need to be more Christ-like in each and every day of our lives. We need to continually watch ourselves. So, again, we just have to use choice words carefully. Speak the truth. And I always spoke the truth. Y'all know me. I speak the truth all the time. And I'm not afraid to speak it because, again, I don't mince words. I don't beat around the bush. My favorite saying a lot, you know, hey, I hate to bust your bubble or mic drop or whatever. But I speak the truth because, again, that's what I'm called to do. And sometimes truth hurts your feelings. I don't intend to do it, but again, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. I can't. And more so, like I said, I started on this message, and it was going to be a message I was going to preach, but then I put it on the back burner and shoved it in file 13, as always, and I forgot all about it. So as I was going through my records and looking for some information on what to speak, again, my wife brought this up, and again, you know, she was dealing with a situation at work, and she asked me, is it okay to lie? And I had to look at it and said, no. We're not supposed to. Well, even if it might cause someone to get mad at me if I tell them the truth, I said, yes. We're not supposed to lie, folks. So that's why I started thinking about this. So, folks, you know, I want you to think about this. When you find out that a person has lied to you, don't you hate it when they do? Lately, me, especially with this chat room, well, I've been finding out things, you know, people tell me, but I find out otherwise. Or even in my ministry or even on Facebook, they tell me something, but I found out they were lying. You bet your backside, I do hate it. I hate it with a vengeance. Because when I find out that a person's lying to me and not telling me the truth, then how am I supposed to trust that person or to take that person's word for the next time they talk to me? That's why I hate it. In fact, do you dislike it when someone lies to you? Again, I do. Well, guess what? So does the Lord. He dislikes when we are not telling the truth. See, in fact, folks, we know in accordance to his word, he says he is incapable of lying. In fact, according to Hebrews 6:18, it says it is impossible for God to lie. Plain and simple. That's God's words right there, folks. So if it is impossible for God to lie or he's incapable of lying, then why do we do it? Then, you know, many of you who's been joining me in my Facebook studies in the book of John, you know, I mean, if, at the rate we're going, if I was to go through the whole book of John, we'd probably be on Facebook for the next 10 years. But see, folks, the book of John also explains the history of lying. Lying without repentance and forgiveness leads to the second death described in Revelation, which says, again, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Again, that's what the word says. Folks, be faithful to the Bible's teachings. And if you have lied, look, I'm not here to condemn you. But if you have told a lie or have been lying or you find out that you've been lying, seek forgiveness from the Lord. And if you lied to people that you knew that you did, seek forgiveness from them that you have lied to. I'm not telling you to do that. I've been doing that lately. I've been contacting people that I think, you know, maybe I shouldn't contact, but I sent out, you know, emails, stuff like that. You know, I lied to them, and I admit I did, and I told them, you know, I'm not asking for them to forgive me, but I'm just letting them know if I caused offense, if I did them wrong, if I said things about them, whatever, then I am sorry. But I want you to understand, we need to obey the gospel, because again, he is faithful and forgiven us our sins to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then, you know, we was talking, my wife was talking about, well, what about lying in life or death situation? Well, folks, again, lying in life and death situation is opposed, as the book of Matthew even says. And when you study through Matthew, I forgot which chapter, but it says right there, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. You see, folks, we may lie to men, and we lie sometimes out of fear, but we shouldn't be lying to the Lord, because he can kill us. But see, what we ought to be doing, we ought to have fear of him who's able to destroy the body and soul in hell. Your soul, your salvation matters more than your body for you. And you shouldn't be traded for anything in this physical life. So we shouldn't be saying untruthful things. And I know this is a hard pill to swallow. This is a hard message, folks. It really is. So the hard question now is, if y'all were sitting out there in the pews and I was on the pulpit, I can look at you eyeball to eyeball when asking this question. Have you ever told a lie? I admit it. I don't know about you, but I will. And many would probably have said yes to that question at least once, or maybe a few times, or maybe many times. And the truth is, no one actually can answer with a no. The truth is, no one can answer with a no. We all told lies. See, lying is a subject that is almost universal in nature. And we as human have a tendency to classify lies. Yeah, I'm going to put this lie in this category, this lie in this category, this lie in this category, and this lie in this category. So I got different categories I can put my lies in. Did you know that many Christians in this day and age thinks that a little white lie is not really bad? A little white lie is not that bad, Jim. Come on. Well, as I just said earlier, I hate to bust your bubble. But the fact remains, my friends, a lie is a lie, no matter how big or small it may be. It's still a lie, and it's a sin to do so. Yes, in the minds of many, some lies we think of as real big lies, while we deem other lies insignificant. But the hard question we should be asking ourselves, what does God really think about lying? That should be the hard question each one of us here tonight, and those of you who's listening to this message later on, we should be asking, what does God really think about lying? Now, this should not be an excuse, but it's being truthful. And being truthful in a daily challenge for us. It should not be a truth, but being truthful daily is a challenge for us. And ever since I started putting together this message, I've been more conscious of what I have been saying or how I've been saying it and how I've been responding to you. And I mean you in the room and many I encounter. Because let me tell you something, I got so used to telling these slight little fibs at times, it got to the point that it should have been searing my conscience, it should have been convicting me, but I said, well, you know, I told a lie because, again, here's a good example we can laugh at. When my wife, honey, does this dress make me look fat? No. See, I lied. But I didn't want to hurt her feelings. Well, boy, that dress makes her look like she's about 500 pounds. But we lied. You know, another lie, like some of them say, well, do I need makeup? My wife asked me that once. I said, well, not all women need makeup, but some of you do. You see what, you know how we get so entangled up into little white lies? So now when my wife, she asks when she gets a new dress on, well, does this make my hips look big? Oh, baby, you look the same as you were at 16. Again, I told another lie. So generally, I say, you know, don't ask me that question because I'm not going to respond. So I tell the truth that way. See, I weasel my way out of it. So we just got to learn how to be careful with the words that we speak, folks. Again, it's a daily challenge for us. It's a daily challenge. You look, when you start really noticing what you've been saying a lot to a lot of people, you've been thinking, whoa, I didn't realize I was actually doing all that. See, certainly we face challenges in our lives, but not always daily ones. And bottom line, when we think about this, what does Jesus himself have to say about lies? Well, I'm glad you're thinking that, because let's find out. Let's go to our reading passage for tonight, John chapter 8, verse 44. Look what it says. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and a father of lies. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, O Lord Jesus, we ask of you to be with us in mind, by spirit. You know, give us this short little time to be together. And folks, I don't know why other folks decided not to come here tonight, but God, I'm going to let you deal with them, and you deal with their hearts, and you deal with their minds. Again, I just don't know what's going on with so many folks we used to have here. They used to be loved, the fellowships. You used to love hanging out. You used to love speaking the word. But it seems like the more and more that we're trying to present the truth here, the more and more or less they don't want to be of it. You know, again, there are circumstances why they don't want to be here. Again, I'm not their judge. I'm not their jury. I'm going to let that be fallen into your hands. But bless those who are here tonight. Put a protective hedge around them and guard them and watch over them and take care of them and let them know that you love them. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to stand here, to be here, and to use this technology to get the word out. So, Father, those who are listening to this later on, I ask of you to speak to their hearts while they are listening to this message, and maybe they can learn something out of it. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Yeah, I got to do something real quick. Hold on. Getting a little warm in here, you know. We're actually hitting 82 degrees today. How about that? Whew. Well, some of y'all probably up there just above the 20s. But y'all seen my robot message. Y'all seen when the title of this message is, When We Believe Lies. When We Believe Lies. Now, sadly, lying is one of those sins that people tend to think of as not a big deal. Many people think, well, lying is really not a big deal, Pastor Jim. We think, what's it going to hurt? It ain't going to hurt nothing. Well, folks, that's a lie. Right off. That's a lie right off that's been put into our mind, because many of us in the past has been conditioned, trained, and tricked by the devil into thinking it's okay. You want to find out how well we are trained? Put two babies inside of a playpen, a square playpen, and put one toy in the middle and see how quick they go fighting for that one toy. Then if you was to ask them, who was the first one that started complaining? Not me, not me. They lied right off the bat. Put some candy on the counter, you know, and put about three kids in the room. And a little while later, you see that candy missing. Then you ask those kids, who took the candy? Wasn't me. Might have been the cat. You see, folks, we've been tricked, trained, and conditioned by the devil throughout our entire lives to lie, to believe the lies that he has fed into our minds. It's an old habit. It's hard to break. Yes, we now have the Holy Spirit, and we should be living a righteous life. But it's a constant battle. Oh, I can lie with the best of them, folks. I can tell you that right now. But it took me a lot of discipline and conditioning to get away from it. But I was still in a slight little habit of telling what so-called little white lies for the greater good, thinking, hey, it was okay. It's not bothering nobody. But it bothers one person, God. And when I started writing this, I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. Here, I've done it again. So with that thought in mind, folks, let's look at Proverbs. Y'all should know this passage, this section very well. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19. And look what it says right there. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. But if you notice, God hates the lie. A lie is a lie. I don't care which way you try to paint that board or that lie, is still a lie. God hates it. Case closed. You lost your case. Now, if you notice in this short list of seven things, God hates two of the things mentioned. They are a lying tongue and a false witness that speaks lies. Two of the seven things God despises involve lying. On a human scale, hey, look, lying doesn't really rank up there. It doesn't. But what about the God scale? Or the centimeter scale, if you want to call it that, or if there is such a thing. God is saying here, my friends, here are seven things that I despise that are an abomination, that are particularly repulsive in my sight, and lying is one of them. In fact, we might say that lying is two of them. But lying seems to be a bigger problem for some than others. Some have reached a point where lying is not a trap that they fall into. Sometimes it's just a rather way of life for them. They have lied so much all their lives, it's just natural to them, and they give it no thought. You see, folks, a habitual liar might even tell a lie even when truth would have been easier. Let me repeat that. A habitual liar might even tell a lie even when the truth would have been easier, simply because he or she does it all the time. It has been said about some people that you know they are lying when their lips are moving. If you're sitting here, that's supposed to have been a joke, but I guess you didn't get it. But some people say, you know they're lying when their lips are moving. Wow, I must be lying there. A question one might ask, okay, why do we lie? Well, the answer to this question comes from the father of lies. I like that, a good old meter, centimeter. Cute. But the question to why do we lie is coming from the father of lies, Satan himself. Because of our sinful nature, we give into the sin of lying and believing the lies, and many times we believe we're not bothered by it because we believe that in telling a little white lie is not really a lie at all. Sorry, folks. But once again, lying is a sin. No two ifs, no two buts about this, folks. Lying is a sin, period. And you see, folks, as Satan himself, the deceiver, the father of lies, wants us to believe lies because they destroy us and put us into bondage to an emotional and spiritual problems. So when we give into believing lies, then the lies he uses against us becomes truth to us when we think this, when we tend to let the lies, and almost times that we're okay with them and really don't repent of doing so. So bottom line is, when we start believing these lies and he uses against us, we tend to think, okay, well, you know, it's all right because, you know, they really don't bother me. It's not hurting nobody. And if you're telling yourself that, then you know what? You're kidding yourself because it's hurting God. God doesn't like it. But Satan has really many, many lies within his arsenal. And all of them are really destructive. Why are they? Why are they destructive to us? Well, because we believe those lies he tells us, then we tend to think it's okay, it's not that bad. That's the mindset. That's how we've been programmed. And sometimes it's hard to deprogram the mind. But it can be transformed with the renewal of the Holy Spirit himself. We got to condition the mind to start thinking more of the Spirit and less of the flesh. So here are some examples I'm going to cover tonight of the lies that Satan himself tells us, and we become conditioned to these lies. The first lie that he told us that we have believed and been believing it is, are you ready for this? I must be perfect. Many people think to themselves they have to be perfect. And believing this lie results in feeling anxious about making mistakes and self-condemnation whenever we do. And we end up making more mistakes or telling more lies. So, folks, none of us is perfect. Only one person is, and that's God himself. He tells us so in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, which says this, and I just quoted that earlier, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And what this is really telling us, yes, God wants his people to be holy, but we need to accept that growing in Christ is a process that will involve making mistakes along the way. So, folks, we are human. We should not use that as an excuse, but we do make mistakes. All of us do. I'm the one standing in front of the line right here tonight to tell you I make mistakes. Now, I will go so far as to say, okay, we're all sinners by heart. Yes, we are. But there should be times that we should be able to go for a good period of time without committing a sin. Because that involves discipline within ourselves. There are days sometimes I can go a couple hours without sinning. But then usually, boom, a little white lie pop out. Oh, crud. That blew my sin for the day. But we have to understand, folks, we are told to be holy just like God because God's Spirit's in us. So we need to start thinking carefully of what we do and learn to start transforming ourselves and start living a righteous life. And if it means hardcore discipline and means that you got to do some more radical changes in your life, then you better get with it. Because again, as I said earlier, I right now cannot stand it when I find out people have lied. That's one of my pet peeves now. That irks me. Especially here in this chat. Now here's the second lie that Satan has so conditioned us to believe. And many people fall to bondage to this one. I see it all the time here. I see it all the time in real life. But this is the second lie many people fall into. I must have everyone's love and approval. I must have everyone's love and approval. Lie number two. And what this thing, this lie does, this lie leads us to focus on pleasing people rather than pleasing God. Because people like this, as in this trap, that's caught up in this emotional bondage, are seeking the approval of people more than they are God. Because they're seeking their love, or want to be friends, or got to be close to them, or got to be part of that group. Hello, I done it. I sought the approval of many people. I wanted to be like them. I wanted to be like this. I wanted to be like that. I wanted to be part of this. And it caused me a lot of problems. But I felt like that I had to have everyone's love and everyone's approval. Then one day I woke up and said, you know what? I need to start focusing on pleasing God. You want more? Look what Galatians chapter 1 verse 10 says. Right there in black and white again, folks. This is what it says about this. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. I run across many people in this chat who are trying to do just exactly that. Seeking the approval of their family, their friends, their co-workers, the social media gig, if you want to call it that. They need to be more focused on pleasing God. You see, Paul himself continually sought approval of God. That's all he was focused on. He didn't focus what people thought about him. Yeah, we knew he was a murderer, a persecutor. He was hated. Paul didn't care what they said about him. He was more focused on pleasing God. He was more focused on the approval of God. He did not base his decisions on the opinions of other people. Instead, he single-mindedly aimed at pleasing God. This is why we cannot afford to make the love and approval of others more important to us than the love and approval of God. Focus on that. The third lie that we've been conditioned to believe from Satan throughout all our lives, and this is used by a lot of people too. Things have to go my way for me to be happy. Things have to go my way for me to be happy. And many of you probably knew that song that was out many years ago. You know, ooh, don't worry. What it says? Be happy. And they blare that song. And folks, everybody was focused on being happy. Happy, happy, happy. So things have to go my way for me to be happy. If they don't go my way, I start pouting like a little kid because I can't get what I want. Folks, this is unbiblical belief that causes us to focus our attention on circumstances rather than God, and on being happy rather than being mature. Well, again, the Word of God says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, says this, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Folks, whatever situation you are in, you need to learn to be content. Me and another friend were just talking today on Facebook how, you know, it was just horrible what's going on in Texas with that ice storm, you know, and everybody out of power and water, and actually people died because of it. And yet, you know, I understand it was a horrific situation, and I understand, you know, it was hard on them. And yet, you know, I hear many people, you know, saying, well, I can't believe that we was left like this. I actually saw one guy post a comment and said, well, you know, I gave my life to Christ, and where was God in all this? Look, folks, I can't stand here pretending to you, well, I know how it is to be without power and freezing and dying and hungry. I can't say I do. I wouldn't know how to act. But the thing is, we got to learn to be content in what we have. I've been looking at other things, but I need to stop. This trailer is sufficient enough. You see, folks, in knowing that we need to be content, that we don't need to be happy for things to go our way, we just need to be content in God. Because in knowing this, our peace and contentment should not be based on situations we find ourselves in, but on being unconditionally loved and cared for by God. The fourth lie that we've been trained and conditioned to believe by the enemy, and I hear this a lot too, life should be easy. Life should be easy. My wife even asked me that again this morning. And I looked at her before she was walking out of the door. I said, baby, I'm sorry to say, life is not easy. Jesus never promised us a good life. Never. You will not find that in scriptures. He told us we was going to have tribulations and trials and pains and sufferings and hurts. He told us because they hated him, they're going to hate us. Because they persecuted him, they're going to persecute us. Life is not easy, folks. The effects of sin on us and the world we live in are pervasive and have made living life difficult. Christ told us that, again, as I just said, that we're going to face these troubles in life. And I'm going to give you scriptures to back it up, because every time I tell you something, I back it up with scriptures, because, again, it's not me, it's the Word of God, because John chapter 16, verse 33 says it right there, folks. Look, that's Jesus himself speaking. He said, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. And we do. But in the world, this world, you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Because now we have overcome the world, because Jesus Christ is now within us. See, the false belief in an easy life only sets us up for letdowns, bitterness, and resentment when life proves to be difficult for us. The fifth lie that we've been so conditioned to believe, and this is why we're used to saying these little lies in these categories, as I mentioned earlier. God hates the sin. Listen to this carefully now, so you don't go get all feathered and roughed up at me. God hates the sin and the sinner. Hope you caught that. Folks, this is really what I have heard people say, and that phrase is one of the misuse, and misused a lot with Christians. God does not hate the sinner. God only hates the sin, not the sinner. But some Christians out there says it both ways. God hates the sin and the sinner. You see, believing this lie causes us to run from God when we sin. Yes, folks, I have talked to many people who has even told a lie or sinned, in fact, felt like I lost my salvation. And they went into despair and depressions and hurt and pain. Because someone told them, every time you sin, because God hates the sin and the sinner, you have lost your relationship. You have lost your salvation with God. You need to go back to the cross. No, folks, it does not work that way. We cannot keep re-crucifying Jesus. Jesus went to the cross once and paid the full price for our sins. All our sins are paid for at the cross. It ended at the cross. So whenever we sin, it does not break that relationship. It just breaks the fellowship. The relationship is still there. But many folks have led to believe that whenever they have sin or told a lie, they run away from God and get back into other things because they became under self-condemnation. Lisa, if you could type that real quick, type Romans 8:1. And this is why I point this out to a lot of people. Those of you in Christ will know what this means. And I will read it out loud for online listeners. But look what it says right there. Romans 8:1. I guess the bot's acting funny again. There it is. It says right there, folks, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So even though we may have told a lie today, or we may have inadvertently sinned today, and look, let me reiterate this real quick. We are not to sin. Born-again believers are not to sin. Well, you say, Jim, that's a lie right off the bat. No, it ain't. Listen to this carefully. Born-again believers are not to be practicing sin. You get that? The Bible tells us very clearly not to be practicing sin. We need to be practicing righteousness. We've been clothed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So therefore, if we inadvertently sinned, lied, got angry, done whatever, don't come under condemnation. As some folks I have talked to has done this to themselves. They became self-destructive because they were condemning themselves. But Scripture's right there clearly tells us we are not under condemnation. But see, again, when many do sin, they run from God. You know, God is the only one who loves us unconditionally. Being holy as he is, he hates sin, as we just learned by reading Proverbs 6:16-19. God hates the sin, yes, but he does not hate the sinner. In fact, he loves the sinner because Christ went to the cross and died for you. So in fact, while we were sinners, all of us, he died for us. Again, how do I know this? Well, again, let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It's clearly outlined right there in the Word. And here's what it said. But God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So, folks, I will tell you this. Hate the lie. Hate the lie. Hate the sin. But not the sinner. Love them as Jesus so loved you. Love them as Jesus loved you. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. As my dear friend asked me yesterday, why this message online? My best answer for you, I can sit here and say a lie and tell you a good answer. I just do where I'm led to go. Yes, there were some things in me too I noticed that, ew. When I started thinking about this thing, I started pinning it on paper. Ew. Then I was led and said, you know what? Then I have really never heard many messages about lies. I hadn't heard many of them. I don't know about you, but me personally, I hadn't heard many ministers preaching on lying. But the reason why I'm really into this message because, folks, lying can hurt other people. And the reason why I'm saying that, because as I said, whenever I find out that someone here has lied to me, it hurts. And it hurts me badly. When I find out someone in real life has lied to me, especially coming from Christians, it hurts me badly. And then I look at them in a different way, like, I don't know if I can ever trust that person again. Yeah, I forgive you. But can I look at you the same way? Most times I have a problem with that. I just can't. Then I start doubting, was that person telling me the truth or not? They lied before. I called many times and lied. Yet they come to me and act all goody two-shoes. And yet I do show unlimited forgiveness, unlimited grace. But yet I catch them in lies again. So it gets to the point that I don't want to be involved with the person no more. I separate myself from them. See, it can destroy your reputation. It can hurt your fellowship with others in church. If a man lives a spiritual correct life outwardly, but secretly he is also living an immoral life, he is living inconsistently. If a man will fight for truth on baptism and the one church of the New Testament, but in his day-to-day life he tells lies, what does that do to the church? It harms the Lord's church more than a man who claims to be a Christian and doesn't live like one. And this is an expression. A man is only as good as his word. And some people might say of an individual, if this person gave you his word, you can count on it because his word is as good as gold. It doesn't work that way no more. I was raised up that way. I was raised to trust a person's word. Many of us were. If you told me you was going to do something or whatever, I took your word for it and I believed it because your word was good as gold. But today, in this day and age, your words are useless. We see that in society today. Every day. Word is not what it used to be. Thank you, Lisa. Word is not what it used to be. Back then, this used to be a great treasure when people thought of that person that way. When I was little, and I gave my word, and our neighbors gave their word, and it was wonderful because they lived up to it. Because, see, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And as Christians, our personal reputations and commitment to the Lord should mean more to us now than being grieved and gaining ill-gotten things of ways of lying. What we need to do and understand that these and many other lies create emotional and spiritual difficulties and slow our progress towards being mature in Christ. So I was trying to figure out a way how to wrap this up. That's when I got to this point and left this message off and I had to finish it up. So what can we do to replace these lies with truth in order to be transformed into the people God meant for us? Well, let me give you several things. The first thing we must do to be transformed into the person God meant for us, the first thing that we must do, folks, most important, we must believe the truth. We must believe the truth. It must first be understood that people cannot properly renew their minds apart from God. Believing and applying the truth needs to be done within the content of a relationship with Christ. Or as I was saying, I said this earlier a couple months ago, we should be thinking, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And I catch myself late and I start thinking, what would Jesus do in this situation? Only then can people develop the beliefs and attitudes that lead to a true emotional health and spiritual maturity. So, what can believers do to help the process of renewing their minds in order to live out God's truth? Well, they are, A, and this is just what I done and have done, and I'm not suggesting you do it, but maybe you will, maybe you won't. But in order for us to understand the process of renewing our minds to live out God's truth, I generally try to do these two things. A, that we can keep a self-talk journal in order to identify the lies that we tell ourselves. This involves spending time each day writing down what they mentally say to themselves when reacting to various life events. Their journal, they record the event that triggered them, what they privately thought about it, and their feelings and reactions. Now, once they have written down their thoughts about the situation that occurred, then they ask themselves, are there any other thoughts of lies that I have? Are there any thoughts I have were lies? You see where I'm going with this? When you kind of do that little examination. And doing this very important step towards better understanding what lies are in the minds each day and how they are negatively impacting their emotions and their behavior helps you understand it a little bit better. Makes you more self-aware and conscious when speaking words. B, once they have identified the lies that they tell themselves, those lies can be analyzed in light of God's word. And for each lie they believe, they must find, and I started challenging a couple people to this, that each time that you momentarily may have said a little bitty lie, or a lot of lies, I don't know which ones, for each lie that you believe, folks, you must find biblical truth that contradicts it. Take that challenge. So if you end up saying a lie when you write in your little journal, your journal, and the journal's just for you all, I would advise you to share it with people, and you saw that you actually lied, then find some biblical truth that contradicts it. Then they can memorize that truth, meditate on it, and apply it to real life situations as often as possible. You see, folks, the threefold process of memorizing, meditating on, and applying truth will transform your thought patterns and your life. Threefold process of memorizing, meditating, and applying. It will start to transform your thought patterns. The second thing we need to replace these lies with, like I said, the first one was we must believe in the truth. The second thing we must replace these lies with, living what we believe. I am a child of God, follower of Jesus Christ. I go by the name Christian, even though the word Christian does not mean much these days. But I'm going to start living what I believe. Knowing, believing, and applying biblical truth are the three key steps towards having a renewed mind and experiencing the transforming power of a relationship with God. God's thoughts are perfectly true, and He is more willing to help us believe in the truth. Our emotions and actions will be transformed as we replace the lies with truth. And this is a difficult, lifelong process that involves challenges at every turn. So when we learn the lies that Satan tells us, we should be able to teach us we had no right to lie on top of this. This does not give us the right to lie. Once we understand the lies that Satan's been telling us, that does not give us the right to keep doing so. We live for Christ. We surrender all to Him. And as we grow in our awareness of unbiblical beliefs, we hold and commit ourselves to taking a biblical view in our minds. Then we will be renewed, and when we can, experience true freedom in Christ. Again, folks, when we start taking more hardcore biblical views, and y'all know me, I've been taking a radical change for about the last, four or five months, because I decided, you know what, I have to step this A game up. I'm going to stand more on biblical truth. And I have to say the truth. Because I've been finding myself convicted when trying to deal with people in chat, and I go sit on the sofa or on the porch or whatever. I didn't tell that person the truth. I lied to them to try to spare their feelings. I was not right. I should have just told them the truth. I'm not trying to hurt feelings, but I have to tell you the truth. So whenever we take a stand on biblical views, your mind's going to be renewed and you're going to experience true freedom in Christ. You're not going to be held to bondage, especially to that. And the abundant life that Christ promised is ours if we are willing to commit ourselves to live a life in truth. But we need to realize, folks, that lying is wrong in any shape or form. I'm sorry, but lying is wrong in any shape or form. I'm not meant to hit you upside your head, but the truth is the truth. It's a transgression of the law of God. We must not allow ourselves to measure sin by how much damage it does or do not do on this earth. Any sin can cause a man or a woman to be lost, and in light of that, none of them are little. A lie is a lie. Thinking it's all right to lie, folks, I'm sorry, but it's a very serious error for a Christian to hold. It shows a misunderstanding of God Himself. Also, if a person tells a lie, it grows and leads to another. Then it leads to another. Then it leads to another. Then it leads to another. And before you realize, you can't even remember what the original lie was all about to make sure that you're not caught in the lie. Don't fall into that trap. Because if you're going to tell a lie, I forgot who said it, but I can't remember the quote. But if you're going to tell a lie, be sure you have you another lie to tell on top of it to cover the first lie. Don't fall into the trap. Speak the truth. One prime example, again, you know, I remember we all knew one of our presidents. He was accused of smoking marijuana in the White House. Mr. President, did you smoke marijuana in the White House? No, let me back up. He was accused of having sex in the White House. And he denied. But later on, he came out, yeah, I did. You see, what he should have done to stop all those reporters, Mr. President, it was told that you had sex with so-and-so in the White House. Is that true? Yes, I did. You see, you give the person no place to go. Once you start telling the truth, you ain't got to worry about covering the lie. Thank you, Lisa. That's a good point. Pay attention to that, folks, because she's making a great illustration. If you say the truth about everything right away, you won't have to think about what you have lied about and to who. Good point. You see, folks? It's imperative that we realize lying can be very costly. Bottom line, she just made a great point. Good. And last but not least, if anything, folks, take to heart of this. Lying really hurts people you love. Lying really hurts you. Lying hurts the one who died for you. So knowing this, what are you going to do about it? Hearing this tonight, what are you going to do about it? Think about that one. Amen. Let's pray.